Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, we're about to get to our Victory Monday nitpick. There's definitely some room for improvement for your Texans in a 19-13 victory over the Chicago Bears. But before we get there, we're reacting to other things as well on this Reaction
Monday.
How
do you Monday. Do it, Figgy?
As about 19 hours ago, maybe a little bit longer, it was said that the Carolina Panthers would, you know, still stick with Bryce Young despite a week two dud from the quarterback. Well, as about 15 minutes ago, Tom Pelissero let us know that the Panthers are indeed benching Bryce Young and will start Andy Dalton in week three. And so a year and 2 weeks is what it takes for a number one overall pick in Bryce Young to fall out of favor in a place in Carolina. I am fascinated by this because obviously you talked about we talked about Brian Callahan in Tennessee, who did not draft Will Levis. Neither did Canales draft Bryce Young, but I imagine that that was a large part of taking a job is, yeah, I can work with this guy.
And oh, so for sure.
2 weeks in, on a Monday, no doubt, right? Yeah. Like a Monday of heading into week three, they're like, yeah, no, we are going to go with this other quarterback, with Andy Dalton, mind you, right? Like, who is a backup quarterback, but not one that I look at as like an incredible one at this point. He's solid. He's fine. But they're willing to go with him just because Bryce Young has been that poor thus far.
This is, in reality, to me, it's a bombshell because you don't bench your number one overall draft pick quarterback 2 games into his second season unless you know. Like, if you think maybe there's some issues, then maybe you can work with him. If you think he just needs some more snaps, maybe you can work with him.
Also, like, how much of this is a unilateral decision for a head coach? How much does this have to be talked about with the general manager and with an owner?
Sure, right?
And in an owner with an owner like Dave Tepper, who seems to like his hands in the business of the football stuff.
He wanted Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Nah, he wanted him.
But that's why it's so important and big to me, this story here, that Bryce Young is getting benched. You have to know. Like, I know he's not the guy. Or I know we're losing the locker room. One of those two things you have to know. You can't think. You can't speculate. You can't guess. Like, so right now, the Carolina Panthers know that Bryce Young is not the answer, either as a quarterback, which I think has been pretty obvious, or he's losing the locker room.
And it's possible that it could be, I mean, the latter, but it could just be both. Because one of the things is, and look, we got the TV investigative reporters yeah. all the time. But there's been a number of times where people have looked at it and like, it looks like that guy's not really rocking with Bryce, right? Like maybe that message is not being heard. And I think we saw something like that this week as well. So it is possible that he's losing the locker room and they do not, respect is a big word, but they do not believe in his capability of getting the job done. And football ain't a sport that you go out there if you don't believe that you can do something out there, right? Yeah. Like, it is not the type of sport where you can just go out there and half-ass it.
Yeah.
So with that being the case, that could be a possibility, but just happening this early into it is kind of
that's ugly, that, man.
To me, that's the story, because this just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. With so many reputations on the line, so many people who put their neck out on him, for him, including Dave Tepper, as we talked about, and the first year head coach, who clearly, as you pointed out, probably said, "Yeah, we can work with that." No, they know he's not the answer.
They mortgaged the future for him.
Yeah, that's where I was getting that, man. Y'all paid a lot to move up to number one and drafted the wrong guy.
But part of me still kind of respects it. If you do know,
if you think you know,
pull the plug.
And they missed.
Yeah,
they
missed. Pull the plug.
They missed by one spot because you know who they didn't get.
Yeah, we do.
Your man CJ Stroud. fantastic in the game. In fact, Figgy, if I can try and make this transition work, if you can give me CJ Stroud talking about, this is cut 8 from him, in fact, because there was a little bit of a nitpick necessary within this, but he was asked, how do you balance wanting to correct the mistakes but also celebrating the win?
It's football. It's harder than the NFL. I'm happy. Of course, I'm not satisfied. I'll never be satisfied. There's always things that you can point out. We're not going to let one half of football make us put our head down. We're going to stay confident. We're going to stay taking shots. We're going to stay, you know, betting on us. So I definitely, you know, understand, you know, we need to be better. But, you know, like you said, winning is number one. So we won, and now it's time to move on and get better.
Time to move on, get better. Winning is number one, and they definitely got that win 19-13. But what are the things that they needed to get better at? Let's dig into them. And I feel like the first one that jumps off the screen for me is, hey man, can we not have all these damn penalties?
Yeah. That D'Amico was about as irate as you could get after a win, talking about this, and it was all over the place. 12 for 115 yards. Very untimely penalties. And this isn't even really, I guess, like, it's kind of nitpicking, but to me it's very big. It ties in with that. I'm gonna go back to Laremy Tunsil, and you know, we really have a lot of fun with him. We laugh about, you know, the target on my back and stuff, but it ain't funny if you're gonna lose a game because of it. And they damn well could have, if it wasn't for Kyahmi Fairbairn kicking a 59, right?
That was 59.
Yard field goal after a Tunsil false start. That's no joke. Nobody would have found that funny.
Yeah, you almost took 3 yards off the board there.
Yeah.
You had another one last week where he killed the drive off of a false start, right? You have to be further on your P's and Q's, because the game gets, or the margins rather, get a lot thinner, and the expectations also don't help those margins either, where you're playing against, when you start playing against some of these tough teams, you can't just wipe these games away as, well, we got a tough team or a tough team that we're playing against.
Oh, that's just Laremy. Ha ha.
Expectations dictate that you need to be on top of it.
And then two of them. But that one was the worst. That one could have been, because then you're talking about, they don't have, last week they didn't have an opportunity to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. This week it could have been no field goal there. And then all of a sudden, the Bears, if everything plays out the same, the Bears have the ball late, you know, with a chance to maybe tie the game.
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah, those are the margins that change, right? Like, it's a game of inches is what they say. And if you're giving up 5 yards or 10 yards because of, you know, a play there, that's more than the inches that are necessary to shift a game. Along those, like, I think this also goes in there as discipline all the way around, right? Like, I know that we kind of laugh about the Aziz, you know, being on the sideline, punching a helmet, because that's a thing that I just do not understand. But, hey, man, you weren't penalized for it then. We'll see what the league office says. It's a possibility that you could have been penalized, thrown out, right? We know that the NFL isn't the most consistent about these when it comes to being officiated.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if Aziz Alshire is thrown out of that football game? Like, what are you looking at in that instance?
Yeah.
And then what led to the one touchdown that you could point to, or what led to, a touchdown or the one that you can point to for the Chicago Bears was Kalen Bullock, who has been very good early, but a little too physical on a PI where you had an opportunity to play the football, my man. You did not have to play into the body. You were there that early. And that allowed them to go on a third down where you probably could have gone off the field to the 6-yard line and then ultimately punch in a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The game looks a lot different if they don't get that
touchdown
on the board, you know? And so it's that stuff. And, I mean, he's, again, a rookie. This is week two for him.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the types of things that you need to be on top of if you do indeed want to win a championship.
One other little nitpick thing that I had is on the offensive side of the ball. I thought Bobby Slowick came out and was just in his bag and doing a lot of things right. Now, the flow of the game became such in the second half that you know, that it became a slugfest. It became a defense-oriented game, and the Bears do play very good defense. I would have liked to have seen him try some of those same things in the second half. Just take a shot, move guys around in the backfield, because we were sitting up there in the first quarter. I was like, whoa, this guy is on it.
That's game script, man. Game script versus, you know.
And then the second half, we didn't see that. We got much more, not conservative, but I guess close to the vest, protecting the lead. I know, I get that. Take a shot, man. You know, take one shot. You know, their longest play, 20-something yards. That ain't going to cut it when you have those three receivers. I would have liked to have seen Bobby Slowick just maybe take a couple more risks in the second half and maybe open up the lead.
And I mentioned the idea that Caleb Williams was pressured a good amount. I mean, like, CJ had a decent amount of pressure on him as well. The pass protection is not all the way fixed. It's not all the way in the right place just yet. We still need to see that improve to a level, and it ends up not being as big of a deal, or it doesn't appear as big of a deal, because CJ Stroud, as you like to mention, is very good at helping make things right that are a little wrong. Great movement, great pocket management this early into his career.
Mm-hmm.
But you need your pass pro to stand up and give him an opportunity to make the easy plays, make some of those plays boring, to make big plays and move you down the field. And so there's still some room for improvement pass protection-wise with this team, and making sure that you handle what ends up being at times, you know, fairly simple games up front from a defensive line, right? You saw that with Patterson, where once that guy slides inside, all right, cool, I don't have to worry anything. Man, here comes the other tackle wrapping around him that's now in the backfield because you were not on your P's and Q's.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be my other one. Laremy Tunsil, I don't think, allowed a pressure at left tackle, which is no big surprise. He's a great pass blocker. I think Titus Howard allowed 5. So there's your right tackle after a very good game week one, allowing 5 pressures at right tackle. That's kind of nitpicky because of what you said. Obviously CJ Stroud can help that a lot. We don't know exactly who's responsible for what, but 5 is 5, you know, and so that's something that you definitely want them to adjust and get better at.
All right, so.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things that I wrote down, are we going to get the Tank end around overuse? And I understand Bobby Slowick enjoys the end around.
Yeah.
It was very evident that there was a loss on the returns in that game when you started going to that. And Tank Dell is a fantastic receiver. He has speed. It's a nice change of pace play.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start leaning on it, though, right? And that leans to, I think, an entire thing that we talk about is like, wide receiver usage, we gave Bobby a ton of credit. A ton of credit on week one for spreading that ball out. It did not kind of spread nearly in the same way. And I understand some of the getting the ball in the hand of Tank is the end around.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't lean on that. You don't want him having to tote the ball a ton. And then you get to a place where Steph was not targeted a ton. Until they got to like that 3-by-1 where he got into the ice and he did a fantastic job with the in and out route and just absolutely cooked. Was that Tyquan Stevenson over there on that side?
I don't remember.
Who had a rough day, mind you. He was the other cornerback, right? Because Jalen Johnson, tough guy for the Bears. Tyquan Stevenson had a rough time. But within the course of that, like obviously Stephon Diggs gets that, but he's not getting a ton. And I know that, again, there are people that look at it and go, hey, you know, make sure to keep him involved to keep him happy. But people are going to get their passes. People are going to get their touches. But the way that guys got their touches or didn't in this game was just a little off, if I'm nitpicking.
And on the Tank Dell thing, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass here in this one because it was successful in week one. Like, he had some success,
for
Tank
sure.
Dell.
And you had success with the first time that you ran it week two as well.
Yeah, and so I don't want to fall into that habit. You know, as we mentioned, we always give Bobby Slowick a hard time about that. But it was working week one. Maybe he was just trying to change it up, as I talked about, take a shot, maybe use the end around as something to give this offense a spark. But it is definitely something to watch for sure.
I'll bring up Tank one more time, but I keep thinking about, I told you, my favorite play of this was C.J. Stroud making a play, Tank Dell dropping it.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's going to be a thing, but let's make sure that's not, guys.
let's not make that a thing.
Like, let's just make sure it's not. How about that? Some other things that are here. Shout out to Joseph talking about the end around as well. Let me make sure I did not forget anything here.
I had one more.
Please do. Go for it.
And that is the penalties on Steven Sims' returns. You know, so we saw yesterday, it's not, you mentioned the penalties, but that is a game-changing moment, perhaps. And the only reason Steven Sims is on the squad, it really is because he can do that in returns. He had one decent return. He had an even better one that was called back because of a hold. And certainly on kicks and punts, there are oftentimes some penalties. But, man, you've got a guy that is his whole job. It's why he's on the squad. And you blow it with a dumb penalty away from the ball even on his return.
I'm glad you said that. It's worth returning to is that just penalties were so 12 for 115.
Yeah. D'Amico was hot.
He should be.
He was hot.
They had triple digit penalty yardage.
Yeah, he did.
Like that is an anomaly type number.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that and be successful. Like getting a, I mean, it is a testament that you were able to get a 6-point victory with that amount of yardage. But if you're not playing against a rookie quarterback, if you're not playing against a team that you know that you're on a different level in, and you put up 115 yards penalty yards, go ahead and chalk up an L.
Yeah, you can lose.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, no, that what really was the big thing. And it's why I mentioned, you know, getting an opportunity to go into locker room a little bit. And, you know, obviously hearing D'Amico, hearing CJ talk about these things. Everybody, there was, you know, excitement about getting a win. But it was clear that it was not full excitement with the energy in that building. Like, there was still very much, we have work to do. And I appreciate that feeling is there because that means the expectation is raised for this team. But the work needs to be done, right? Identifying it is half the problem. The other half is going and doing it. And so that's where it's going to be a good thing for them, is that they're going to need to go do it, especially because you've gotten the Colts, who look like they're not going to be nearly as good of a team as we anticipated, or at least early on. The Bears, who they're still early on in their process. But next week, you got a Vikings team who at the very least is hot
They're feeling pretty good.
Right, at the very least. And so you don't want to help your opponents out anything at all, right? But you don't want to help them any more than you need to. And right now, that was not a good showing in that regard. So I'm glad you brought that back to penalties, because it really was every aspect of the game as well. Defense, offense,
and that was a potential play. I mean, he was close to, or past midfield on the one that got returned.
There you go. Still a nitpick, though, because it was a 19-13 victory. A lot good within this as well, a lot of which that we've already talked about during the course of this. But again, 19-13 victory, and they're on to Minnesota, really. So coming up next, it's 1:20 thereabouts, and about this time, we turn it over to my man Fig. Figgy, what you got in the mixtape?
Man, so we was out there for Sunday night football last night, and I got some thoughts on everything that was going on just throughout the whole time, and I got to know, was my man Reggie a little lit after those tailgates?
Yes, we'll talk about it next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on this Victory Reaction Monday on Radio 610. We were out there for Sunday Night Football. This was the first Sunday Night Football for the Houston Texans here.
Since 2019. Is it 2019 or 2016? Yeah. 2019.
Said 19. I thought you about to say 19 oh something.
Oh.
Felt like it was that long, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast out there, man. It felt good being out there. It was hot. It started off hot.
Mm-hmm. But you're telling me?
Oh, man.
He's sweating through his fishing shirt.
Nah, you weren't the only one. But, nah, it was really good vibes out there. And before we get to, I want to know if Reggie was really lit out there. Because when I saw him in person for the first time out there, he was loud, man. He was loud.
I loud? Really?
He was kind of loud. We're going to get to that in a minute. But but it got me thinking when I was out there last year around this time for the home opener, and it was Liberty White. Mm-hmm. It was Liberty White out there. At the time, I did not have a white shirt. So I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I can wear my red Texan shirt.
Yeah.
And I was out there judging tailgates with HEB. And the Menares was out there. They came out there. They surprised the tailgater of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran up on Hannah. I'm like, hey, what's up? And look, I actually have the audio of this. She actually called me out for not wearing white.
Are you excited?
I'm super excited. Are you excited?
Yes.
You out here tailgating with us.
Yeah,
I got the wrong color.
Right.
I know. I don't have a white shirt.
We could have fixed that, baby, if you had told me.
I got you next time. Hit me up. I got you next.
I'm over here asking. I'm like, how you feel to be out here tailgating? She said, you got on the wrong colors.
Yeah, keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah. Which is, it's Liberty White.
Yeah, she called me out. So this time I actually had to make sure I wear white, man. I'm like, you know what? I can't afford to get called out like that.
You can't make Hannah
mad. Yeah, I think she was legit mad, too. And then when I told her I ain't have a white shirt, she was like, you should have said something. You should have told us.
You would have worked.
I know, man. Like, it was so bad to the point I was considering just getting a plain white t-shirt. And my man Reggie had a plain white t-shirt.
Right. I was like, look.
Man, I was about to be yepping my white tee.
I did my research, and I saw that particular video, and I was like, not going to be me. You're not going to catch me slipping.
But yeah, it was good seeing them out there, and hopefully this will be an annual thing.
They did it yesterday with us.
Yeah, man, that's a good look, man. I don't know another owner that's gonna be out there, you know, going to tailgates and stuff
with people taking selfies and such.
Yeah, I heard somebody spilled the drink. Did somebody spill the drink?
I think it was a little food or something on it.
Okay,
on
a little stain. Yeah, man. Sometimes these billionaires be a little bougie, man. They don't want to be out there with the people.
Man, you should have seen the scene when they showed up. Like people coming from hundreds of yards away.
Houston. Yep. Swarm.
It was a swarm.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody that was out there in them lots, tailgating, sweating their butts off.
Yep.
So now I got to see if Reggie was tipsy or not, man. So we was out there. Y'all was out there judging tailgates. And I was listening on the radio. Y'all doing the tailgater of the game.
All right.
So I'm like, I see this. So, you know, I had to pull the audio to see how Reggie sounded during the interview.
Oh, like, no, I did not even consider this.
Yeah, I want to see how you sound now. I want you to give a fair grade on how you sound while interviewing the Red Eye Tailgaters?
Yeah, Red Eye
Tailgaters.
Yeah,
I got
Burt. Yeah. I want to see how you sound interviewing them.
All right, talk about starting out the 2024 season with a bang. We have the HEB tailgater of the game here, myself and Reggie Atatula. First things first, Reggie, your first tailgate, what was it like?
Man, it was a blast. It was three great tailgates that we got the chance to be a part of. But Bert here with the Red Eye Tailgaters, they blew them off the map. Man, you guys deserve it so much. Man, what does it take to put together a tailgate of this magnitude, brother?
Open for interpretation.
Okay.
Open for interpretation. What's your interpretation?
There was a little slippage. Honestly, the first part was I did not anticipate you going to me first. So I was I have to answer.
Yeah,
here.
I wasn't sure if you was nervous a little bit.
There was some nerves in there, I'm not going to lie. But there was also six shots and two drinks.
Yeah. No, I done been there, done that, where I probably had 10 shots and a couple drinks.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I did good.
Yeah. No.
You're disciplined.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I've been to that point where I got to interview the person and I'm talking like that. So, yeah. No, I totally get where you're coming from. But after that, you actually came over to the broadcast.
Yeah. Yes. How'd that go?
And you, we about to find out right now. Let's see what this sounds like.
Oh, you got audio?
Of course I got audio, man.
We ready for the season to start, baby. Let's go. Hey. Prime time. You feel me?
Hey, I never heard you this hype ever, man.
That's what the alcohol will do.
That's true.
It was off the charts. Three big times. They could have all been hell in a year. I know how to handle myself. I can still be professional.
My man here
in the loop.
He said six.
Yeah, I was wrong. It was six.
Sports Radio 610.
He was hyped up, man.
He was hyped, man. I'm like, okay.
The people were hyped, man. That's also, some of it was the alcohol, don't get me wrong. But some of it was just like the people at the tailgate, man, were having a blast getting you turned up. You know?
Big time. Yeah, big time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's funny. I'm glad you had a good time because I was worried because I kind of did a little mini prep with you, man. I'm like, hey, when you go, people gonna offer you drinks, shots, and all that stuff. Just be careful, man. Because sometimes they just go up to you and give it to you. Where you like, what the hell?
Oh, they
is
put it
this?
Right in your face.
Yeah. I had the two of the shots were that, and then at the last tailgate, which I believe was the winning tailgate in our instance, the nice lady that had the Jello shots, she was like, "All right, have this one," and I was like, okay. And I was like, all right, so this is my one at the spot. And she was like, but you gotta have this one. This one is my, like, this is my favorite one. And I was like, okay, cool. And then she's like, okay, but this one here is the best one. I was like, why didn't you tell me that to start with?
Yeah.
Why did you make me go through the sequence?
Hey, man, that's what they do down here, man. You will stop at the tailgate, be like, all right, let's get some tequila shots going. Let's go. And then, hey, you want a drink? You want a beer? You like, all right, cool. And then next, hey, we got to get the Jaeger shots, Jaeger bombs. Let's go, baby. You like, wait a minute. Oh, I'm trying to stick to one liquor, man.
You know what I'm going to blame? I'm going to blame Callan Hannah, and this is why.
Oh, wow. Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm being real bold on this. I'm lashing out. This is me just pointing at everybody else from my own indiscretions. However, because Cal and Hannah were coming out, we had to be real rapid, and so we didn't have as much time to kind of stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that condensed the time even quicker, which, one, alcohol in quicker succession, not as good. And two, I didn't have as much time to eat at each place, so I didn't eat as much. that I would imagine would kind of soak up a little bit. So I think that was also. Yeah, you know, see,
that's the other thing, too.
I saw the pros. Yeah. I saw Eric Brown and I saw Lopez, and they knew exactly what time it was. They got right to the grills. Food was in, like, was being digested by the time that they were already introduced. They were going quick.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, too, with the food. I forgot to tell them that. I forgot to tell you that because when you go to the first one, they'll give you a full plate.
Yeah.
And you'll sit there and try to be polite, try to scarf it all down and eat all of it. But you got two more places to go to.
Yeah.
And those other two places are going to give you a full plate.
Yeah.
And then the last place is going to give you a full plate. So now you full and drunk.
I've never been so nervous behind eating and drinking.
Yeah. It was fun. Shout out to everybody that was out
there.
Absolutely.
So the halftime show, man, I was actually super excited about this halftime show. It was Slim Thug. It was Big S the Plug.
Yep.
Big S the Plug and Maxo Cream. And look, man, I thought this was the perfect vibe, man, with the roof being open. It was nighttime. Everybody had the light up wristbands.
Yeah.
Man, I actually had to, I think y'all seen me a couple times. I was watching the game, the live broadcast on my phone on the Peacock app.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look on there just to see kind of what it looked like with all the wristbands lit up and stuff. It looked like a true concert, man.
Oh, it was outstanding.
I thought it was great, man. Everybody was looking good. I think for their, and I said this in the confession, I think their next Sunday night game, They gotta have the roof open, man, and keep that same energy.
So you're gonna tell them what I did? Yeah, no, I might have just told B. Scott this, but obviously everybody knows Slim Thug, and he opened, and it was all good. And then I heard the rest of it, and B. Scott came up. I said, okay, who was the second guy? Who was the third guy? Because I didn't even know, you know.
And that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
Have you heard the last song before?
No, I heard them, but I didn't know who it was. And I do that a lot. Like, I'll hear the song, and I'll know it, and I've heard it.
The last,
and I'm like, who is that?
The last guy, like, who is that? The, BX the Plug. That,
Big X the Plug.
Number 900 in your program?
Yeah.
You see his jersey?
Yeah. Oh, was that what he was wearing?
Number 900.
Okay, I wonder how he came to that number.
Yeah, I have no idea, but his song play a lot down here. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear that song pretty often. I wouldn't have been surprised if you never heard Maxo Cream's song.
All right. Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, but it was a good halftime show, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch it, though.
Oh, you were coming down?
Oh, you was coming down.
Yeah, I was coming. I was making down. My way. Yeah, yeah, I was coming down.
Yeah, so overall, the game, this Uncle Boot Man coming out. So my nickname in Cleveland is Boot Man.
Yeah.
And I got nieces and couple nephews that call me Uncle Boot Man. Uncle Boot Man was showing out last night, man. I was getting tired, man. That game was so long.
Third quarter.
Dude, it was 10 o'clock, and it wasn't even the end of the third quarter yet.
Third quarter was brutal.
That was after a first quarter that flew by.
And it was nothing but punts in the third quarter. How does nothing but punts last that long?
I don't know. Like, there was two incompletions in the first quarter, so just the clock kept moving.
It was rough, man. And honestly, I guess that whole day kind of threw me off a little bit because it felt like a noon. It felt like a noon kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out there, and I'm like, okay, it's about noon, and about to get. I'm like, oh no, it's not. It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, that part lasted long, and I felt even better when I talked to Adam Spillane after the game, and he said, oh, yeah, it was long. It was a long game, especially that third quarter.
But he thinks every game is long.
Yeah, that's true.
He's always like, play faster.
Now, I felt better knowing that he felt like the game was pretty long, too.
But Spillane had binoculars of a bird watcher.
Yeah,
they were enormous.
His binoculars are much bigger than I anticipated. Yeah,
they were giant.
What you was gonna say?
Nah, someone did mention that there was the injury stoppage that spent, but nah, it was also just long in and of itself.
I think when I really realized it was going on long was the one of the chain guys.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
He ended up getting hurt. And mind you, we in the suite. I'm like, what is going on? Like, it was quiet. Wasn't nobody doing anything. I'm like, what happened? So I had to get on my Peacock app to kind of see what was going on. And they showed the replay of the chain guy falling. and look like he's hopefully he's fine.
I hope so.
He's fine, but that took that. I think that took about 15 minutes.
Yeah,
but that was tough, man. So I wanted to play this audio, man. Kevin Harlan is one of my favorite play-by-play guys. I think he do an amazing job. His voice, I think he got one of the best voices in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier he was calling the game, and you know how they do the game breaks?
Yeah.
And how they send
it
over
to the studio.
Yeah. So just imagine him, I guess, sending it to New York for a game break. And they're having technical difficulties. What do you think Kevin Harlan would have did?
Oh, Kevin Harlan just going to do the job himself. I've seen him call two games at once.
Here we go right here.
Kansas City. And let's take you to Nate Burleson in New York.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear you. Go, Nate, go. Here we go. Rodgers against Tennessee, and they're going deep. And
he's doing the game break.
That's crazy.
The Titans, Ridley with a touchdown reception. The former Jacksonville Jaguar, Will Levis with a long throw for Tennessee. Back to Minneapolis. All right, Nate, thank you. Second down.
And the crazy thing about that is remembering, like, when those dudes are calling the game, they've done research on the game. They've got a spot chart that they can reference. He's doing all of that off of the top of his dome.
Yeah, and he's watching it like we are watching it.
Yes.
So it
back
took,
to me.
It, and it took him a minute to see who caught the touchdown pass.
Yeah.
And he seen it was Ridley. So he just said Ridley with the touchdown pass from Will Levis.
Remember when Harlan was calling the dog on the field?
The cat.
Cat on the field.
The cat on the field. And he did it up.
From
was,
the 20.
Oh,
from
my
the 10,
gosh.
Touchdown.
That's why he's my favorite is because, like, clearly he's a pro, right? He can nail the, you know, the fine points mm-hmm. of formatics as he should. But the thing for me that always makes a play-by-play guy go to the next level is when you get a feel that they love the game. And not just play-by-play, just any announcer. When they're transferring that, you know, that basic, hey, man, it feels like you're enjoying the game. And Harlan always sounds he's having a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, I salute to Kevin Harlan, man. One of my favorites, man. That could have been a whole disaster where it could have felt so awkward, but he just picked it up so fast.
Yeah.
So, salute to him, man.
He's the best.
Yeah. That's all I got, man.
Appreciate you. That's Figgy's Mixtape every weekday, 1:20 p.m. here on Sports Radio 610. Hey, man, we are having a blast on a victory reaction Monday for your Houston Texans. And we're getting ready to hand it over to The Drive. I know that D'Amico Ryans will speak to the media at 3:15, so you'll have that amongst all of the fine breakdowns that those guys will have. But coming up next, I kind of want to revisit our predictions and how they stood up, amongst other things. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, appreciate you rocking with us on a Victory Reaction Monday for your Texans here on Sports Radio 610 In the Loop.
Be ready for the season to start, baby.
That's right, and the season has started. 2-0, in fact, for your Texans. A 19-13 victory over the Bears helped facilitate that last night, Sunday Night Football. Hope that you enjoyed the vibes, as we all did in various different capacities. Roof open, tops dropped in a way, as they say.
There you go.
And so a fun time, and soon we'll turn on to Minnesota, but wanted to continue to look at what happened here. But before we get to what we were kind of anticipating and what we ultimately saw, how those matched up, I do also, you were mentioning in the break, the quote from Dave Canales, the Panthers head
coach.
As of last night?
Yeah. Bryce is our quarterback.
For the next 24 hours?
Not even. Probably what?
For the next 12 14, hours?
16, something like that.
Because if you did not catch it, the kind of the news of the day in the NFL is that Bryce Young will not be the starter for the Panthers. They will turn to 36-year-old Andy Dalton to be the starter, which I can't imagine that you're gaining anything out of that move, like, progressively.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, hey, well, we're going to try and win more games. I don't think that division is there for them to be won.
No.
Right? And no, with all due respect, I don't think that Andy Dalton is the dude to do that if there was a division to be won. And so in theory, it would be best to lose games at this point and use a first round pick that you still have available to you, funny enough, next season, would it not? But I guess the idea is you just couldn't run Bryce out there for various reasons.
Yeah, and that's why when this news dropped, my jaw dropped. Just because it doesn't really happen. This doesn't, you've got a franchise quarterback, number one overall pick, two games into his second year, and you pull the plug. Part of me respects that because they clearly made a decision. It ain't going to happen, and it ain't ever going to happen here, at least not in the foreseeable future. And so they made the decision. But, man, what a decision that is. Like, all the equity they gave up, all the picks, the way they banked on Bryce Young, and it's done. I mean, I'm not saying his career is over forever, but they have made the decision. And I mentioned this to you and Figgy earlier. I think it's one of two things. But it's definitely done, no matter which way it is. It's done because they finally realized it's not going to happen with Bryce Young. He is not it. Or they have lost the locker room or are in the process of losing the locker room, and they just can't have that. But it's one of those two things. You don't make this decision casually. You know, you don't say, well, let's let him learn a little bit behind Andy Dalton. No, man, not if he's already starting and all that. It's a jaw dropper.
Yeah, and he was thrown into a tough situation. You got to admit, but ooh, that's tough. And I think you asked a question that's going to be very interesting. Is are we in worst number one overall pick ever territory? Because that distinction had basically been held by what, Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah. Well, given what they gave up.
I mean, what's a good game? What good game did he have where you say, you know what, he's gonna be all right?
Yeah, there's something there.
I think his only good game was against the Texans. Was that? I think that was a okay game for him. But I don't think he had a game where I'm like, oh yeah, see, that's the one. That's the number one overall pick.
Like even like, and I'm not saying he's in the same category, but I'm saying even in just two games. You can see some things because his numbers are awful, but you can see some things in Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of see hints. Now, his numbers are awful. Like I think I saw a stat, his yards per attempt is the lowest of any quarterback in the last 10 years. That's fine, but you're seeing some things that you can kind of see, okay, maybe you can get there from here. You never saw that with Bryce Young.
Looks like he had a decent game against Green Bay in week 15. And... yeah, there's a couple of them. How good do you want to consider a 25 of 41 showing for 246, three touchdowns, two interceptions?
Decent.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's those are the two multi-touchdown games that he's had in his career to this point.
Yeah, and it's mind-blowing, but it's also... man, these are things that usually happen to the Texans. Who else has thought that? Usually it's the Texans that have that experience. Instead, the Texans are the beneficiary of it.
Yeah. Again, shout out, I guess, I saw Spo, our guy Adam Spillane, mentioned that, hey, we just got to go ahead and name the stadium after Lovie Smith at this point. The way that he inadvertently put you in a position to have C.J. Stroud in the course of this. And speaking of C.J. Stroud, let's go back to Friday in the loop where we kind of had our matchups for this game and kind of what we were expecting. And it feels like we did a pretty good job, don't it?
Hey, man, aren't we good? aren't we good? No, you know, we talked about this. I think the obvious one is we both kind of agreed on this. I wrote it down. I still have it here in front of me where we were talking about D'Amico's approach against Caleb Williams, mix things up. Give him a lot of different look. That's not exactly earth-shattering stuff.
No.
It's very predictable.
I mean, rookie quarterback, send blitz at him, see if he can handle blitz.
But the amount of blitzing that he did on 42% of his dropbacks, the Texans blitzed.
The most that you have seen from a D'Amico Ryan's defense.
Ever.
Yeah.
And so that's funny. The other thing that we talked about is I speculated, I shouldn't say I had a hunch, but I speculated if Jalen Petrie would be involved a lot more up close to the line of scrimmage and in pass rush. Boy, he was. And then the other thing I said was Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter coming off the edges.
Yeah.
That's got to work. That's got to happen. They're going to try to force feed it. They're going to try to really get them going. Well, we know the result of that. And then you talked about the turnovers.
Yeah, I was very thoroughly excited. I was giddy, in fact. I think one of the turnovers, I think it was the Kamari Lassiter interception. I was sitting with Figgy in the suite, mm-hmm. and I turned to him. What I say to you, Fig?
Said turnover
defense, baby.
Turnover defense.
Like it's so exciting to be in that place where you see a defense that looks like they're going to be able to turn teams over. Because you got the Stingley pick, you got the Kamari Lassiter interception. In fact, that was one after what felt like you should have had another one because that one was negated by penalties, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is a situation where early on, it's feeling like this team is going to be capable of turning over their opponents, which only serves to make them more more capable
yeah.
of being a high-level team because what do turnovers do for you? It gives you a better chance to win, limits the other team's offense, right, at a basic sense. And now you're putting yourself in an even better place. You're helping your defense, or obviously that is your defense. You're helping your offense, giving them more touches at the football, putting the ball in C.J. Stroud's hands, which you want to do a whole bunch. Like this is a good trend, and I really do think that you have the essence, the basic, the foundation for this to continue.
Well, you say trend, and I'm glad you put it that way because, as we've mentioned, D'Amico Ryans does not normally blitz like this, but he did yesterday. So I'm wondering. Lack of a better way to put it, it got good to him. You know, I'm wondering if we're going to start to see more of this because he knows what his personnel can do. It, not just because it was a rookie quarterback, but because they were really good at it, you know, and they brought all this pressure and they maybe have more trust in their both cornerbacks, not just Stingley, but more trust in both their cornerbacks. And that's the other thing he said after the game last night. None of this would have been possible if it wasn't for the cornerbacks, you know, making life miserable in the for the receivers. So I'm going to be interested in see. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to blitz a quarterback 42% of the time like last night that they drop back, but I'm wondering if, you know, he kind of goes and learns a thing or two about his own defense and goes to that maybe a little more often.
Yeah, and the other thing that I know that we're going to, at least on the show, continue to look forward to is Stingley going to continue to travel, or are they going to continue to use him in that way at times? Because he's clearly up to the challenge, and it seems like he really relished the opportunity to do that. And with that, we welcome in our guys from the drive. We got Ron, we got Clint in the house, and Clint, for you, with Stingley traveling, like, how much would you like to see that continue through the course of the season?
Well, I mean, if you're going to give him a steady dose of it, I mean, if you're going to pressure, because if you're not going to pressure as much as they were pressuring, if you're not going to truly play man, then it becomes a giveaway, right? As a quarterback, mm-hmm. I walk to the line of scrimmage, and if he's following my best receiver wherever he's at, I know it's man. I know I know you're bringing pressure. But if you don't give a damn, if you're gonna bring pressure, continue to bring pressure. You know you're gonna play man. Everybody in America knows you're gonna play man behind it. Then have him travel, and it doesn't matter that the quarterback knows it and sees it.
Yeah.
They never had an answer for the pressure at all, and so that was one of my points last night on the postgame show was. Tip my cap to D'Amico Ryans for not getting bored with what mm-hmm. was working, right? I mean, this is working. There's some risk associated with it, but the offensive line didn't have an answer. The offensive coordinator didn't have an answer. Caleb Williams was swimming. I mean, he couldn't make a decision. He couldn't get the ball out. He didn't know where he was going to go with the football, even if he was going to get the ball out. So, yeah, I just tip my cap to him for just continuing to dial that thing up until the last.
But as D'Amico said, he also had that trust in the cornerbacks that, okay, you know we're man. You know what we're doing, and we're still going to blitz.
Yeah, you can get eight cuts for 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's all they had to do.
Well, it's easy in that after that game to say, yeah, I had the confidence in them corners because your pressure was getting home. But when there's some teams on this schedule where you're going to dial up some pressures and it's not going to get home and we're going to find out how much. You know exactly how much. So, I think yesterday was an extremely easy day for a secondary. The ball was coming out quick. Again, the receivers, best receiving core in the NFL that for some reason cannot create any separation whatsoever mm-hmm. with the defensive back. It doesn't matter if it's Derek Stingley, one of the best in the league, or a second-round draft pick that's playing his second NFL game of his career. It doesn't matter. They just can't create separation. They couldn't do it in week one. It was, the film was exactly what we saw yesterday. And truth of the matter is, dial that pressure up, baby. I like it. Pressure does two things, boys. Creates diamonds
or busts pipes.
Yeah. It busted the hell out them Chicago pipes yesterday, boys.
And it forced them tackles to have to go one-on-one with those ends. And that is a problem.
They were eating Caleb Williams. They were swallowing him.
Yeah, both of them teed off on him completely unblocked.
And so that
Sometimes the blitz is not just necessarily for the blitzer
to get home.
It is to create one-on-one matchups with your best pass rusher.
Somebody to get home.
Yeah.
And when you got Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, and who knew that Al Shaier was going to be that good in a pass rush situation. And Jalen Petrie had an exceptional game. Tua Toa had a hell of a game as well. Wow. So a lot of guys on that defensive side of the football deserve one of them old one of more helmet stickers, boys.
Y'all remember them days?
Yeah. I don't know if these young punks remember those, J-Lo. We had them skulls and crossbones on the back of that damn helmet. Boy, hey, look, that defense, their helmets ought to be full next week now.
You talk about getting dudes home. We got to make sure to get the folks home. And you know when you got to get home, you got to listen to The Drive. So you're listening to KILT, KILT, HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.
The Drive is live. We got cat paws.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.